WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the student section this Friday night on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Jalen Brooks, and I'm usually here with my two co-hosts, Connor Rolls and Brady Gorgon, but they are already headed out to spring break, and I just want to wish them safe travels. And I'm just going to stick around the Tuscaloosa area, and I'll be covering sports. And also, I'll be covering Alabama athletics. So if you don't already do so, be sure you follow WVUA 90.7 The Capstone on Twitter. That way you can get your live updates from home. Usually on this podcast with my two co-hosts, I discuss NFL news or NBA news, but we're kind of in a weird period of sports right now, mostly because the NFL season just ended, and now the NBA season is starting its second half of the season, and we're not really going to learn anything new that we already don't know now. But we can still talk about some minor headlines that I don't think should be overlooked. Matter of fact, one of the things I wanted to talk about starting this off was talking about the Ravens GM, Eric DaCosta, placing a non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson. And to translate it to NBA terms, it basically means he's a restricted free agent. To put it in simple terms, in case that's a little bit hard to understand, it basically means any team can make an offer for Lamar Jackson right now, but the Ravens have the last say whether they want to match the contract. I think it's interesting to note, as of today, March 10th, no teams have yet made an offer on Lamar Jackson. And I'm not hanging around NFL owners, and unfortunately not. I would like to maybe one day. Maybe I can pick their mind. But if I were to speculate, I would think this is probably the one of the more public displays of collusion we've seen from the owners of the NFL and the NFL. Sources close to the Ravens say that Lamar wants a fully guaranteed deal. However, it's my belief that the reason we haven't seen any offers or anything close to that is because I don't think the league wants to set a precedent, especially after the Deshaun Watson situation. If you're not familiar with the Deshaun Watson situation, Deshaun Watson faced 24 allegations off the field and in court, but settled outside of court. But that being said, he was suspended all last year and then only played 11 games this year. That being said, he still got a NFL record $230 million, $200 being guaranteed. I think reports came out near on NFL Network that a lot of the owners were very upset that this had happened. So I think that also plays into why we haven't seen any teams make an offer. One, for that reason, and two, they also know that the Ravens are not going to let their MVP just walk out the door. I mean, if you think about it from the Ravens' perspective, you're going to match any offer. Not unless it's too crazy, but like I said, I don't think any team's going to be willing to put that offer out there. One, the Ravens are known for not paying huge money to one person or to players. I think the biggest amount of money they actually pay to a player happened this year. It was Roquan Smith that they acquired in a trade from the Chicago Bears. And after that trade, they extended Roquan Smith to 4 years, $100 million, with I believe it was in the $50, $60 million range guaranteed. That just talks about how much the Ravens are willing to spend money. If you want to look back a little bit further in the past, this is going to sound a little bit weird, but Joe Flacco was in the same situation. Yeah, Joe Flacco, who took the Ravens to a Super Bowl, he was in the same exact situation. I don't know if you remember, but Joe Flacco, going that Super Bowl year when they were going into that year, they couldn't reach a contract extension. So what did Joe Flacco do? Joe Flacco bet on himself, and that's exactly what Lamar did this year. Except the outcomes were different. Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl. And since he bet on himself and he won the Super Bowl, the Ravens had no choice but to sign him to the largest, I think it was the largest contract for a quarterback at that time, back in, I think I want to say 2012, 2013. But I think it was 6 years, I want to say $120 million, and only 45 of that deal was guaranteed. Now, Lamar's kind of in the same boat, like I said, but he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP, but that's not, as you've seen, the Ravens haven't gone anywhere since he's won that MVP. They're still floating around the first round, first exit of the playoffs. The Ravens are a small market, and they don't get a lot of free agents. But I truly believe that could be an argument to pay Lamar. But if you look at what they've done this offseason, they fired their offensive coordinator, a big reason why a lot of people believe they don't get free agents, mostly because their offensive scheme is set up to set up for running backs and tight ends and not for wide receivers or other positions. I think if you look at that, the moves that they made, I think that should be a reason to actually maybe not pay Lamar. I think that they are trying to get more weapons out there now that they have a franchise quarterback. I don't think Baltimore has ever been a free agent destination, but now that they have Lamar Jackson, it is. And now that you fired your offensive coordinator, I bet you a lot more players will come to Baltimore. That being said, you can't pay those players if you give Lamar the contract that he wants. I think it's also important to note that the teams that were interested or kind of need a quarterback. Is this not the first time that we've seen multiple teams that actually have all these assets, like cap room and trade assets, just not go in on a quarterback? I think it is. You're telling me that the Raiders, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Saints, Panthers, Commanders, Jets, they all publicly said that they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. It's kind of strange when you think about it, but go back to last year. Before Deshaun Watson got traded to the Browns, who were the top teams looking for a quarterback? It was the Eagles, I think. Well, thank God they didn't. And then it was the Panthers, which we can get into later. I think they made the right choice, but we can get into that later. And then it was the Falcons, right? The Falcons were about to trade the house for Deshaun Watson. But now tell me, a year later, when Lamar Jackson is a free agent, you have, probably the first time I've ever seen it, a professional sports team retweet on their Twitter an actual source saying that they agree with this information. They're basically confirming what that source said, and that source said that Atlanta Falcons are not interested in Lamar Jackson. You mean to tell me the Falcons, who just almost paid the house for Watson last year, are no longer interested? I find that a little bit interesting. Maybe they were trying to avoid the Browns situation. Because you got to remember, the Browns weren't even supposed to get Watson. It was down to, like, what? The Seahawks, the Panthers, and the Falcons. But then what happened? Rumors got out that the Browns were trying to trade for Watson. After Browns said no, he's not interested in Cleveland. And then they were going to stick with Mayfield. But what happened? Mayfield got whiffed about that, and there already had been some tension in the front office. And so with that, Mayfield publicly requested a trade. What were the Browns supposed to do? I mean, you're kind of in a win-now mode. Your team's built to win now. Your first-round quarterback, your first overall quarterback that you took first overall said he wants out. Now what do you do? Well, you go out and get the best quarterback that's available. You say, okay, you know what? You're forcing my hand. Baker kind of forced my hand. We're going to pay you whatever you want. And Watson said, okay, now we're talking. Give me a record-setting, NFL record-setting amount of money. And that's what they did. And that is why Watson is now with the Browns. So the reason I say that, maybe the Falcons were trying to avoid that with Desmond Ridder. The Falcons took Desmond Ridder with the third round, not even the first round, the third round pick. And maybe they got rid of Mariota already. That's one thing we can talk about. They cut Mariota, so now it looks like the keys are heading into Desmond Ridder. You don't make a move for Lamar, or don't even take a look at Lamar because you don't want to piss off your third round pick. I find that kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's not like he was a first round pick. You know, it's not like he was first overall like Baker Mayfield. It's not like he had been there years. He'd only been in Atlanta for 1 year, and he probably only started, I want to say, like 4 to 5 games. But you mean to tell me you're not even interested in taking a look at Lamar Jackson? You're afraid that you're going to hurt your third-round quarterback's feelings, and that might be the reason that you can't do that, and he might ask out. I find that so hard to believe. But who knows? Maybe they have another idea in store. Maybe they want to pursue Anthony Richardson or another quarterback in the draft. But I'm just speculating. And if I'm going to keep speculating, I still think it might seem like it's an idea of collusion. But if it is, I'm going to be completely honest. How hilarious would it be if Dan Snyder, the owner of the Commanders, who, like, you know, to all accounts, it's not very popular with NFL fans or NFL owners or just pretty much anyone, it seems like. But what if the owners finally agreed to kick out Dan Snyder, and as revenge on his way out of the league, just to piss off the rest of the league, just metaphorically just flip the bird to the rest of the owners by giving Lamar Jackson the biggest guaranteed deal in NFL history? Would that not be, like, just hilarious? I could see it, and I think that would be an amazing move for the Commanders, and I would be all here for it. As an Eagles fan, that would be like kind of upsetting because I would not want to deal with Lamar, but I just think that would be the most Dan Snyder thing, and that would be hilarious. I have a little bit more I want to get into, but I think there's some more things we got to take away, and I think we're going to get back to this right after this break. But for right now, please stay tuned. You're listening to WVUA 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You're listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7, The Capstone. My name is Jalen Brooks, and I'm your host at the moment. I'm not here with my two co-hosts, Connor Rolls and Brady Corgan, but they will be back in about a week or so. I think the Lamar Jackson contract extension needs to be talked about more because not only I don't want it to seem like I'm against what the Ravens are doing. Matter of fact, I kind of like what the Ravens are doing because they're kind of going about this the smart way. Like we talked about them being a small market, we understand why they kind of don't want to pay Lamar Jackson all that money. They have to build up that team. But also, I think the process has to be looked at with more details. Like, more detailed. By that, I mean, like, we got to look back at Lamar Jackson when he was coming out of high school and going to college. Lamar Jackson coming out of high school was a 3-star recruit, according to ESPN.com. He didn't get a lot of offers, not for the quarterback position. To my knowledge, Lamar Jackson got more offers for being to transfer and be a wide receiver, to switch positions and be a wide receiver than to be a quarterback. His mom played a huge impact in him playing quarterback at Louisville. I think, if I remember correctly, his mom had a conversation with a coach, and she was like, my son is not coming here unless you promise me he plays quarterback. And that coach delivered on his promise, and I think it worked out for the best for everyone. Lamar Jackson went on to win Heisman in 2016. And then guess what? In 2017, he did it again. 2-time Heisman winner. 2018, what does he do? He declares for the NFL draft. And I want to say this because it's kind of important to note, and it's going to be a talking point a little bit later. He declares for the NFL draft without an agent. His mom was his agent. And just like you saw how she handled the college, like him going to college, you can see that she kind of plays a big part in his life when it comes to big decisions. I'm not saying that to hate on his mom, but I want to make that known. That's how it seems from an outside perspective. He goes into the 2018 NFL draft. I think we already know the story. He was selected the last pick in the first round. Not for quarterbacks, but just out of all the players in the first round, was the last pick. Let's talk about this as well. Because the quarterbacks that went in front of him, Baker Mayfield, he went number one. I mean, arguably, I think that's understandable. I mean, he had a great year. He had a great college career, actually, just so I can understand why he went number one. But you look at him now, he's kind of hanging on to the NFL by a thread. I don't think you'll probably see him start in the NFL again. But you never know. I think he proved a lot with the Rams, and I think he deserves another shot because I think the Browns was just a really dysfunctional organization for him, and I don't think they helped him. But I'm just saying, Baker Mayfield went number one ahead of Lamar, no longer really in the league. Number two was Saquon, not going to really talk about him. Sam Darnold, number three. coincidentally, was just Mayfield's teammate this last year on the Panthers before he got cut, and then he went to the Rams. Sam Darnold's still on the Panthers as of right now, I believe. I don't think he's been cut, but he's definitely not going to be their starter for the future. And we're definitely going to talk about that in a little bit if you keep listening. And then number seven, the third quarterback taken, was Josh Allen out of Wyoming. We all know Josh Allen, what he is now, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but rocket up an arm and tangibles. But I think all the causes about Josh Allen were very similar to Lamar Jackson. And I think it's very interesting for a two-time Heisman winner to be the fifth quarterback taken, but especially when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, who's one of the bigger question marks in the draft. But yet, he still went number seventh overall. The last quarterback that went in front of Lamar Jackson, it's Josh Rosen. Yeah, most of you guys were like, who? Probably, right? But Josh Rosen, coming into that year, that college year, I believe, was the number one prospect going in the mock draft, the Mel Kiper's mock draft from UCLA. The only reason he fell were his injury concerns, because I think he kept getting a lot of concussions and a lot of people were concerned about his durability, but also some of his character and some of the same reasons he's not really in the league anymore. But yeah, Josh Rosen went number 10, and how do I say this? You're probably like, is he in the league now? I think he's a practice quarterback. I think he actually, he was a practice quarterback for the 49ers, but he might have gotten cut. I'm not for sure. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring up Josh Rosen, usually I wouldn't bring him up at all, but Josh Rosen has to be brought up because I think he has one of the funnier, it's sad for him, but one of the more funnier moments for me. He had a great post quote in the draft because he was supposed to be ranked at number one, like I had previously mentioned. He was supposed to be like a top pick, but he fell even more than Lamar did. I mean, no, Lamar fell probably more than Josh Rosen did, but still. Rosen was believed to be a top five pick, guaranteed, but he fell to 10. And then this is what he said in his post conference after falling in the draft.
There are nine mistakes made ahead of me. And I will make sure over the next decade or so that they will know that they made a mistake.
Yeah, so that didn't age very well. Josh Rosen, probably you'll never hear of again, unfortunately. But I just had to mention that because he was drafted before Lamar Jackson. But Josh Rosen went to the Cardinals, and like I said, I don't think the Cardinals really helped him out either. The Cardinals were terrible. They actually did worse than they did that year, and they ended up with a number one pick next year, and you probably know who they took, Kyler Murray. So if you didn't know, now you know, but yeah. So then I think they traded him to the Dolphins, actually, I believe, and that's when they took Tua the next year. I want to say he went to the Lions and then the 49ers, but he's been around the league a lot, so I just wanted to bring that up. And then, of course, with the last overall pick, the last QB taken in the first round was Lamar Jackson. And I like Lamar Jackson's post-interview, too, because I think it has to be stated that you can see the difference of how they both answered that question of, like, falling in the draft. And this is Lamar.
Could you have done differently that you could have gotten out of that room quicker and got drafted earlier in your career? Nothing. I'm happy to be a Raven. It don't even matter. Yesterday does not matter. You're looking forward to today.
I'm looking forward to being a Raven.
What are they getting?
Everything out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me.
So far, they have not gotten a Super Bowl, but I don't think that needs to be mentioned. But I say all that because all those quarterbacks went before Lamar. And then what happens? The first season, he sits behind Joe Flacco, if I'm not mistaken. They make the playoffs, but I think Joe Flacco breaks his collarbone. I'm not for sure what happens, but I do know Joe Flacco goes down. Lamar starts in the playoffs. And after that, they lose. I think I forget who they play, but they lose. Ravens after that are all in. They trade Flacco. They build around Lamar. They change their offense. Through that, Lamar becomes MVP, and then contract negotiations are happening, and here we are today. The reason I mentioned all this before, and I know it's a little bit of a rant, but the reason I mentioned all that is because I want to get back to the point about negotiating through that time span, and especially after seeing what he's accomplished, you seeing him becoming being doubted upon and then proving to you he can be an MVP in this league. I say that all because if you're Eric DaCosta, the Ravens GM, it's frustrating because you don't want to lose your MVP, but you don't want to overpay him. And it probably doesn't help that Lamar Jackson is not being represented by an agent. Like I just explained to you, everything, Steph, from college, high school to college to the NFL draft, Lamar Jackson has always had his mother by his side. And that there's nothing better than that. However, I think for her representing her son when it comes to free agency talks and contract negotiations, it must be frustrating for Eric DaCosta because your star player is sending his mom to do million-dollar paperwork for a $1 billion industry. And I don't know. I don't know her. I don't know if she has any experience in being sports, being a sports agent. But I think if she doesn't have any experience, that is incredibly maybe insulting to the Ravens organization. I'm trying to think of another player that does that, but I think most players usually represent themselves. I'm sure there are other family members that represent them, but I feel like most family members have some sort of experience and aren't that closely related. So it's interesting, but as for right now, not one other offer from any other teams. If the Ravens do sign Lamar, I do think he'll come back a Raven. But I do think the Ravens GM, Eric DaCosta, has ruined the trust and relationship with not only Lamar Jackson, but some of the other players in this locker room. It's just, I know he's your star player, and I know he's frustrated, and I know you might be too, but I think the negotiations have been going on for so long and not be able to come to a point. For someone who's done so much for your organization and has put in so much work, that he's probably not too happy, and I think you're not going to see Lamar Jackson finish his career in the Ravens uniform. I think at some point you will see him, probably over the next two, three years, you will see him try to leave Baltimore. And what I mean by that, by Eric DaCosta ruining trust and relationship with some of his other players, Eric DaCosta was recently asked at the NFL draft combine on why he thought the Ravens were lacking in wide receivers and why some of the receivers he drafted have been struggling. And to paraphrase Eric DaCosta, he basically said maybe it's our part. We got to do more and when we're scouting these players and to really put more emphasis on taking another swing on another wide receiver. And I don't know if you guys saw the tweet by his former first-round wide receiver pick, Rashad Bateman. He actually tweeted back, just kind of captioning the quote that he heard from his GM, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, "Stop blaming the players for not doing your job. Put us in a position to succeed, and put us in a position to be able to stay healthy." And that's a and that's coming from a guy you just drafted like a year or 2 years ago. So there's, I'm not saying it's, he probably wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but the actions that the way he's going across this, I think it's going to lead to a bigger outcome down, more of a problem down the line. As of right now, March 10th, Stephen A. said that he's talked personally to the members of Lamar Jackson's team, and this was like, I think 2 days ago, so probably like as of the 8th, Stephen A. reported that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last offer was around $133 million guaranteed, and he has never once asked for a fully guaranteed deal. There's a lot of speculation to what this could mean, and honestly, I think there's a whole lot you could probably look at. But I think really what we're looking at is an end of the era for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I truly believe some point down the line that Lamar Jackson is going to look at a different team. I think you got to keep an eye on some teams named like Atlanta, Lions, Seattle. These quarterbacks who have bridge quarterbacks, not franchise quarterbacks. Tua's in that category for me. The only reason Tua's in that category, not for because I think Tua can ball. I just think the injury concern's a major problem. But I think that's his hometown too. Lamar's from Miami, so I wouldn't be surprised if Lamar went back home. I just think the relationship has been soured in Baltimore. With that being said, We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what to expect this in this NFL offseason, moves that have happened, signings that have happened, and talk a little bit more about the NFL draft rumors and some of my hot takes for this upcoming draft. I like a lot of these players, but I think this draft might surprise a lot of people. I'm getting that feeling, and especially with the move the Panthers just made. So we're going to get a bit more back into that and talk about that a little bit more right after break. Thank you for listening to WVUA 9.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back at the student section on 90.7 The Capstone. And I'm your host, Jalen Brooks, and we're going to get back and moving into some of these NFL reports and off-season transactions. So one of the main things I guess we could talk about is, I guess, one of the bigger pieces of information. Derek Carr. Derek Carr signed with the Saints for 4 years, $150 million. Derek Carr is coming over from the Raiders, which he spent nine seasons with and only has one postseason win. I'm not really going to talk much about that. I think that's just the Saints just thinking that they have a real shot. Their division is weak. I mean, if you look around, but that's what we're going to get into in a little bit. The Panthers, the Bucks. The Falcons, they're just all teams that need a quarterback, and all the teams seem pretty weak. So it's really just a toss-up for that division, and I think with Derek Carr, they feel like they have a chance to win that division. So I understand. Plus, they're just still loaded with talent. I think the Alvin Kamara situation is a thing to watch. I think he had just been indicted on that Vegas case for assaulting a man. But I'm not going to speak on that. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Saints pivot, because you also have to remember the Saints gave up their first-round pick, but they also got a first-round pick back. They traded to get one back. So now they have, I think, I want to say like the 31st pick or the 30th pick. So they still believe they're in contention. That's why they gave up their first-round pick for this year. Because they thought they had a chance last year, but injuries happened, and I guess they still believe that. They're going to probably try to keep Jameis as a backup. If that doesn't work out, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Jameis get cut or moved just to clear up some cap. It'd be interesting to see where he lands, but other than that, I think I'm not too impressed with the signing just based off the fact that it's Derek Carr. And Derek Carr is a good, steady quarterback, but I don't believe you can win with Derek Carr. Not unless you have absurd amount of talent around him, like Nick Foles and the 2017 or 2018 Super Bowl against the Patriots. So, but even then, I don't think Derek Carr has the same mentality like Nick Foles has. But then again, I'm an Eagles fan, and I am a little bit biased. The next piece of information is Daniel Jones finally reaches an agreement with the New York Giants. He's staying in New York for 4 years, $160 million. And because of that deal, that's going to force the Giants to play Saquon Barkley, their star running back that they took second overall, to a franchise tag of $10.5 million. So I don't know. A lot of people are a lot of hating on this deal. You're going to have to pay Daniel Jones. I don't hate Daniel Jones. I like Daniel Jones, if I'm being completely honest. I think it is crazy that you're paying Daniel Jones a little bit more money than Patrick Mahomes right now. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is set to make like $30 million this year or something like $30 million, whereas Daniel Jones is making like $45 million. I think that's a little crazy. But also keep in mind that Dak Prescott's making $45 million too, and I'm like, so I understand why they paid him. I like Daniel Jones, and I think people aren't going to hate this deal as much when they get weapons around him. I think I'm looking at the Daniel Jones deal kind of how you look at the Jalen Brunson move for the Knicks. I know a lot of Knicks fans weren't happy about that. So I think Jalen Brunson has proved them wrong, because he should have been an all-star. So I think it's going to be the same kind of situation for the New York Giants. Another piece of information that I think is pretty huge is Tua's getting his fifth-year option extended by the Miami Dolphins. That's a pretty big deal, because we didn't really know what they were going to do. I think they're keeping their door open. I think they're trying to see if he can be healthy again next year. I don't think they're sold on Tua. I think they will tell you that, but I don't think they're sold. I know they said they're not interested in Lamar Jackson, but I promise you that they are very much interested in Lamar Jackson and they can get him. But nothing too surprising there. I think it's a little surprising for the next team I'm about to mention. The Seattle Seahawks are signing Geno Smith to a three-year, $105 million deal. I think that is a huge signing for the Seahawks. It kind of gives us a little bit of an idea of what they're going to do in the draft. I don't think that they're – it's my personal belief that they're not going to target a quarterback. I think they're going to try to trade for one over the next couple of years. But I think you saw what they did. They won. They proved that they can win with Geno Smith. Comeback player of the year, pro bowler, deserved, well-deserved. Had one of the sickest one-liners I've ever heard for a post-game interview. The game, I hate when I mess up the line, but I think the quote goes, "The game wrote me off, but I didn't write back." And that's just a baller quote. I think probably Geno Smith and Jalen Hurts and Travis Kelce probably are the best at dropping one-liners. I'm not saying that because I'm an Eagles fan, but like seriously, like if you haven't heard some of Jalen Hurts' one-liners, he doesn't talk a lot, but when he does, you got to listen to it because it makes you want to run through a wall, and I see why that team pulled towards him as a leader. But the biggest news I really want to get to, it's the Panthers. The Panthers, just an hour before the show, the Panthers shocked the NFL world by trading for the first overall pick for this upcoming NFL draft. The Panthers trade their ninth overall pick, their late second round pick, pick number 61, a first round pick next year, and a second round pick for 2025. And what I think is the biggest part of this trade, not only the draft picks, but DJ Moore. They traded all of that for the number one pick. I know that a lot of people would be like, oh, that's a steal for the Bears. And you might be right, but also I don't really think it's that bad of a trade for the Panthers. I think it's a great trade for the Panthers. I think if you look at the Panthers now, their team is assembled. They can compete right now. I know that they traded CMC, and I get that. But look at what they did after that trade. They were winning without CMC, their best player, and without a quarterback, and without, like, receivers. I think if you're the Panthers, you do this trade because you believe you can get a quarterback that can put you in the playoffs right now. And I don't think they're far off. I think what they proved at the end of last season, that this is a team that can compete, and it's not a team that you can just walk over. They are what I want to say the Eagles were before they flipped it. And before what I saw from the Panthers at the end of the season is like when the Eagles flipped the switch, when they went 1-5, and then Nick Sirianni handed over the tool set to Shane Steichen, now the head coach of the Colts, but handed over the play calling, and then they went 9-8, and they made the playoffs. The only reason they made the playoffs is because it was the NFC East, but I think they have a chance. Their division's not that good. Like, the Eagles' division wasn't that good this year, so I think if you get a quarterback, you can get in the playoffs. I think they're right there. I think if you trade for the number one pick, you're telling me that you're either grabbing Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I think both of those players right now have an elite enough ceiling to get you to the playoffs and you can get you to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're going to get to a Super Bowl this year, but I think they are Super Bowl caliber leading quarterbacks. I also think that these quarterbacks are quarterbacks that you can plug in right now. I think you look at some of these other quarterbacks mentioned in the draft, like Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. I think those are guys that are going to need some time to develop, and I don't know if they're ready to lead a team. The reason I'm more confident in Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud is because they come from powerhouses. Alabama, baby. And then, unfortunately, Ohio State. But I think those are two good schools that are good at building ready now players. And I think when you make a move like this, you're telling your friends, your organization, that, hey, we are ready to win and we believe we can win. And I love that move. I love the move that they made. And I think this core, the young core that they have, is only going to get better. I still think they gave up a lot of picks for the future, but I still think they can get some talent. Like, they still have a second-round pick for this year. I still think they can get a wide receiver. I'm trying to think of that wide receiver's name that they still have on the roster who started to show rooms of improvement. The LSU receiver, Terrence Marshall, that's what I'm thinking of. I think you can take him. I think you can draft another receiver. I think you can, over the next couple of years too, in free agency. I think these quarterbacks that you're drafting right now, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, they're so good enough you don't really need a wide receiver. One, I think they're good enough that they're able to make plays happen, especially Bryce Young. I think they can make plays happen with a decent amount of receivers. However, I think if you take like Anthony Richardson or you take like Will Levis, you're probably going to need a wide receiver one. And plus, I also think it's good for the Panthers because they get off of DJ Moore's contract. You're freeing up cap space. You're going to take some hits for a couple years, but I think that's fine with because your team is so young. You asked me who should they draft now. I honestly couldn't tell you. And I don't know who they're leaning towards. I'll give you my opinion in a little bit. But I think who's easier to build around right now, I think if you were to ask me right now who the Panthers were to have an easier time build around, I'd probably say Bryce Young. Without DJ Moore and without like a core wide receiver room, I think Bryce Young is like able enough to make plays run outside the pocket. Whereas CJ Stroud, who I think is like just same stratosphere as Bryce Young, but he doesn't use his legs as much. I think he can still do that. He just doesn't prefer to. But I think at this level, he will. And you saw glimpses of that when Ohio State played Georgia. I mean, he was balling out. I mean, like, that was a crazy game. So I think you can't go wrong with either of those picks. But for the Panthers, I don't want to say it was just a steal for the Bears because I think it was also a really good trade for the Panthers, and I'm excited to see what they do because I like their coaching staff, Jim Caldwell. I like Frank Reich. I know I'm blanking on that Rams coordinator, but he's coming over. I think they have a good young core for players and coaching, and I think they're gonna figure it out. And plus, David Tepper is one of those owners who's just like we're gonna try to go after everything, every player. And you saw that even the year they went after Stephon Gilmore, and we're like, why are the Panthers traded for Stephon Gilmore? Like, that's kind of random, but it was his hometown, so I guess it makes sense. Still kind of question it, but he's gonna swing for the fences, and that's exactly what they did. Now, if you ask me who they're gonna pick, I personally believe that the Panthers are gonna spend the number one pick on C.J. Stroud. The reason I say that, I'm reading into a little bit between the lines. I think Dan Orlovsky, he was being interviewed for the Panthers position. And he had to back out because he liked being on TV. But he had been talking up a lot of C.J. Stroud when it comes to, like, Panthers discussions. Every time you see Dan Orlovsky talk Panthers, he would always be the first to mention C.J. Stroud. So I feel like he maybe knows something with the direction of that the team wants to go in. But who knows? Because just when this trade went down, he tweeted, my gut feeling is Anthony Richardson, which I don't think any player's trading up for Anthony Richardson for number one overall. I think that's too much of a risk at number one. Whereas you can still get these great elite prospects at number one with this in being a safer. Anthony Richardson is going to be a tough like bet, but we'll see what happens. But for the Bears side of things, the talk about this trade, you guys won this trade, obviously. I'm not gonna say it's a steal, but you guys won this trade. This is a win now, not a win now move for the Bears, but it's a win for right now for the Bears because you get DJ Moore, you get a wide receiver one for your young quarterback. You get Darryl Mooney to the two, who I think is an underrated receiver. And then you get Claypool, which I still kind of don't understand that trade. But Claypool is not a bad option for your number three receiver. And then I think now that you're at number nine, you can grab one of these top offensive linemen. I think you take an offensive lineman at number nine, and you make sure that Justin Fields is protected. Other than that, you got another first-round pick next year, and you get another second-round pick the year after. If I want to compare it, I hate to be that Eagles fan again, but I'm going to compare it to the Eagles. Remember how the Eagles had the 6th overall pick, and then all of a sudden they, like, tanked on national TV? They had the 9th pick, and then they tanked on national TV and they get to the 6th pick. And then once they had the 6th pick, they traded back to the 10th pick with the Saints so that the Saints could get Chris Olave. And now the Eagles had 2 first-round picks and had the Saints' first-round pick, and now it's kind of the same for the Bears. They have 2 first-round picks, theirs, and now the Panthers. It's kind of a similar situation. And then now they also have the second-round pick for the year after, which is the Eagles have the Saints' second-round pick for the year after this one. So I think it's very similar, and I think if executed right, the Bears are going to be serious contention for the next years to come, probably like 2 to 3 years. I think the Bears will be making a lot of noise. Now, if you want to ask me about the draft itself and my predictions, I can give you – I can't tell you what's going to happen. I think this is going to be one of the more strange drafts we've seen in a while. I'm going to tell you some hot takes that I have, and after that, I'm probably going to talk about a little bit about some free agencies that I think we need to take into account where I said I have some of these players. But just to do a quick rapid fire, I'll just go through some of it. So, number one, Panthers, C.J. Stroud. Number two, Texans, Bryce Young. Number three, Cardinals, Will Anderson Jr. Four, Colts, Will Levis. Number five, I have the Seahawks taking Jalen Carter out of Georgia. The reason I have the Seahawks taking Jalen Carter is because now that the Bears moved down and with some of the reports that we're seeing with Jalen Carter off the field, some character issues, I think that the Seahawks want to bolster that D-line. I think that's kind of what they like to do. I think they're going to go defense first. And Pete Carroll in that Seahawks organization, they're like famously known for dealing with player issues. So I just feel like talent alone and them not really caring about player issues, it just makes sense to me that the Seahawks would go Jalen Carter at number five. I don't think they're worried about anything else. I mean, they might be a little worried, but I don't think they're too concerned. Number six, I'm a little bit iffy about this one. It's the Lions. I'm going to have them take Devin Witherspoon. I just think they're going to try to bolster up that secondary. So I'm just going to stick with that to be safe. Seven, Raiders. The Raiders are a hard team to watch, or a hard team to judge, rather. I think they're just going to go O-line, play it safe, because usually to play it safe. I think they might try to go for Devin Witherspoon, but if that's not in play, I think they're going to go O-line. Rumors are that they're going to try to go after Jimmy G, and he's the guy. So I don't know if I really believe in Jimmy G that much, but I do believe for Josh McDaniels that makes the most sense. I don't see them drafting a quarterback. So I have them taking a tackle out of Northwestern, Peter Skowronski. I hope I said that name right, but I am not good with names, so excuse me if I did not. Eight overall, I have Tyree Wilson. I think the Falcons don't take Anthony Richardson, even though that talent's insane. I just feel like they're just not going to do that. I feel like they like Desmond Ridder, and they're going to give him another shot. But I also feel like they're trying to tank low-key for Caleb Williams. Either Caleb Williams goes to the Falcons or the Bucks, in my opinion, next year. I think one of those two teams are going to be tanking for them. Maybe the Titans as well, but we can get into that a little bit later. So, eight, I have the Falcons taking Tyree Wilson. Number nine, Bears, after the trade. I have them going Paris Johnson Jr. I think they were teammates with Justin Fields. So I have them reuniting just to give a little bit more support for Justin Fields. Number 10, I really do think the Birds will trade back. The Eagles are going to trade back a lot. I think they're going to try to target a cornerback in the second round. I think they're going to try to – what I would like to see the Eagles do is a hot take. I would like to see them trade back a couple of spots and take Bijan Robinson because they are losing so many weapons defensively that you're not going to be able to just to make it up with all these rookies. So to stay competitive for the years to come, I think you have to overpower that offense. And if you could imagine Bijan Robinson with that O-line and Jalen Hurts, my God, that would be scary. I don't think that's crazy. So if they trade back and get some middle-round picks alongside with some compensation picks for their offensive staff and defensive coordinators leaving, I think you could see them moving around a bunch. And I think they're going to take, like, a cornerback in the second round. But later in the draft, I have them taking defensive end Miles Murphy with that second pick. I don't really want to talk about too much for the rest of the teams outside of the top 10 because I think it's nothing too insane. My hot takes, though, is for pick number 16. I have the Giants – or I'm sorry, I have number 16. I have Washington trading back to the 23rd overall spot with the Vikings. I have the Vikings moving up to take Anthony Richardson. Yes, I know. What am I thinking? Well, let me tell you why. If you don't remember, the Giants almost made the trade back offer with the Bears. Instead of the Bears, with the Vikings. The Giants almost made that offer for the Vikings to move up to take Justin Fields. The Vikings really wanted Justin Fields. But Bears had the better offer, and because, you know, Bears had needed a quarterback for way longer. So, obviously, long story short, Justin Fields goes to the Bears. But, you know, rumors, you give Kirk the extension. So, I think he's on a one-year deal now, or 2 years. I think it's a one-year deal, though. But before the season started, their new GM came on the air saying, hey, I like Kirk, but I think we might have to look at that position. I think we are limited in some ways with Kirk. And I thought that was really weird for a first-year GM. So I know he wasn't the GM that tried to trade up for Justin Fields, but I think that idea is still probably in that franchise somewhere. And I think he's a project. Why not sit behind Kirk for a year? I think you're going to be getting rid of Dalvin Cook soon, too. They just cut Adam Thielen. Za'Darius Smith, a key piece on the defensive side, just asked out. They just cut Dantzler, cornerback. So I think they're just going to rebuild and retool. So that's one of my hot takes. And then with the Washington, and that now is going over to 23, I have them taking Michael Meyer, the tight end out of Notre Dame. I don't know. I think the Washington wouldn't take Anthony Richardson. I think they really like Sam Howell, but I think that's going to happen. I think Logan Thomas can't be your wide receiver one. But also, Bates is really good, but I think the talent for Michael Mayer is just also really good. But also, I also think in case they don't get Michael Mayer, there's also a lot of like offensive linemen that they might target as well. Another big name is just Joey Porter going and playing for his dad's former team with the Steelers. And I have Bijan Robinson. If the Eagles don't obviously take Bijan Robinson, I have the Eagles taking Christian Gonzalez. But if the Eagles don't take Bijan Robinson, I have the Eagles taking Christian Gonzalez. But I have the Bucks taking Bijan Robinson if that happens as well. So I think you get the best talent player available, and Bijan Robinson's clearly a top five talent in my book. But you know how running backs are in the drafts. I think they're going to fall. But those are my hot takes for the NFL draft, and we're definitely going to hear more as the weeks progress. We're going to hear a lot more rumors, especially with now that the Panthers are number one. That's so interesting to see. I'm excited to see how that is. I'm really excited just to see the future of that division, because I think – I think it's kind of the point to where the NFC East was, the NFC South, like where all the NFC East teams were bad or kind of known for being bad, and then now they were the most winning division this year. And I think the NFC South is going to slowly start to do that as well. Before we get out of here, I just want to keep some big names to watch for free agency for this NFL season. It's Derrick Henry's name's been tossed around a lot. Dalvin Cook might be headed out. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I can't say his last name, so excuse me, but he couldn't reach a deal with the Eagles, so I think he's going to be free agent. Rumors are he wants to break the market for safeties, so he probably won't be back with the Eagles. Bates is leaving the Bengals. Fletcher Cox, James Bradbury is leaving the Eagles. Darius Slay is being talked about in trade talks just because their failure to reach a contract agreement or extension. And like I said, Adam Thielen just got cut. And Jimmy G is probably going to end up on the Raiders, is what it sounds like. But we can discuss that more when we come back. For those of y'all listening, I want to say thank you for taking this time to be a part and listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. Enjoy your spring break, and make sure, if you don't already, follow WVUA 90.7 on Twitter. That way you can get live updates on Alabama athletics. Thank you so much, and y'all have a good night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.